Tim, my name is Daniel, and I've been on staff here at Journey for about 1 month now. So we are, thank you guys. I owe Kendra lunch now, so thanks for leading that. Hey, we're excited to be here, and hey, Journey, let me let you know something. One of my jobs is to lead the staff, and you guys have a tremendous staff here at Journey, right? God has blessed us with some amazing people, and it's an honor. It's an honor to work with them. And we love serving you guys, and we love what God is doing at our church. So I came from Mobile, so from South Alabama. We were down there for quite a few years, and we enjoyed a lot of stuff there. We enjoyed leading the church that we were at. We also enjoyed CrossFit, so we enjoy CrossFit. I don't know if you guys enjoy working out, but we like to work out simply because we like to eat. So we do CrossFit so we can eat whatever we want to. And I know it's not supposed to work that way, but maybe it does. So we go, and one of the things we love to do is we would always end up in downtown Mobile because there's a ton of restaurants there and a lot of farm-to-table and unique kind of local things. And so oftentimes, if we were on a date night or if anybody came in town, that's kind of where we ended up. So it was my wife and my little girl, and we'd always end up down there eating. And anybody would come in, we'd take them down there. We're like, you guys got to go see downtown Mobile. And then we'd hang out and wait for the check to come. And then, you know, if it was parents or in-laws, we'd just kind of keep waiting. Right, y'all know what I'm talking about, those of you who have kids. So we just hang out, wait for them maybe to pay the bill. And then we would get up and we'd go do our thing. Well, my in-laws came in one weekend, and we were like, you know what, let's go hang out downtown. Let's go find something good to eat, and we'll hang out down there for a little while. And we track down there, and we sit down at a restaurant, and I noticed real quickly that there's this guy going up and down the main street in downtown Mobile, but he has a unique form of transportation. It's a bicycle, right? There's pedals with a motor on it. And so he comes pedaling down Main Street, and then he kicks his motor in and he takes off. And he is really enjoying it, right? He is enjoying everybody looking at him and going, that is the weirdest looking moped bicycle thing I've ever seen in my life. And so he does it 4 or 5 times, and he's coming, and he's swerving around. So everybody notices him, and we're sitting down, and I'm looking out the window, and you can feel it, right? You guys already know something bad's about to happen, right? You feel it. You know, like, son, this is not going to end well. And he comes and he goes and he comes and he goes. And we're kind of looking and we're laughing at it because it's a pretty strange sight. And there's some college guys sitting outside the restaurant on the sidewalk. And they begin to encourage him. And so they're like, dude, tell me, how much horsepower you got in there? Right? What will it do? And so they ag him on, and he takes off, and he peels out, and he throws his back tire around a little bit, and he disappears. And then you hear him coming. It's like, and he stops right there, same spot. And they're agging him on again, and they're like, dude, come on, show us really. Show us what the thing will do. And he gets in the middle of the street in downtown Mobile and starts cutting donuts. And I look, and I'm like, you guys, look, dude's cutting donuts in the middle of the street, and he's going. About fifth time around, he wobbles. And you're like, well, here it goes. Right? And he wobbles, and he straightens back up, and he goes, and about 3 more times, he goes down. So the college guys are hollering, he's giving it all he has, and then down he goes, boom! And he hits his shoulder right on the curb of the sidewalk. And everybody watching is like, ooh! Right? It's this horrible accident. And you're looking, and dude stands up, and his shoulder was here, and now it's here. Right? It's hanging down. And I said, as a man who knows nothing, he separated the shoulder. And my wife, her background is radiology and x-ray, and she goes, nah, it's broke. Well, the college guys know as much as I do. And so they go, he separated the shoulder. And one of them runs over there, and he's like, dude, I separated my shoulder one time in high school. We pop it back in place. It shouldn't be funny, you guys. It was funny to watch. I'm not going to lie. And so his arm is down here. And the guy goes, all right, man, I got you. Take a deep breath. He takes a deep breath, and he yanks on it. Boo! And the guy hollers. And now he's cutting donuts on foot, right? He's there. He's running in circles, and he's hollering the whole time he's running. And I'm like, this is horrible. But I couldn't stop it. I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching. And I watch the guy go, okay, man, we got you. One more time. And so they proceed to go, again, take a breath. And he pulls down on his arm. And the guy runs again. And he goes and he sits down in between two buildings. And you can tell he's just staring at heaven like, why? Why did I do this? Why did I ever buy a bicycle with a motor on it? Why did I let people talk me into doing something that I should not do? And why did I let somebody who was not a doctor give me medical advice, right? So you can just tell. You know, all that's going through his head. And we're sitting at the table and I go, dude, you shouldn't have been cutting donuts. Right? It's that simple. He shouldn't have been cutting donuts. And then we continue to eat. As heartless as that sounds, there's a lot of weird stuff goes on downtown Mobile. So you just continue to eat. And we're eating our food. And nobody says anything for about 3 minutes. And my five-year-old girl, she's five at the time, she looks up. She goes, he shouldn't have cut his donut. He should have ate it whole. Right? He should have ate it whole. You guys, listen, it is one thing to misunderstand the type of donut. It is something totally different to misunderstand or miss the point of the voice of God. So today what we're going to do is we're going to dive in exactly what it means to hear from God and what our response should be to that. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to be digging in. And as you guys are turning there, if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. It should be in a handout you got as you came through the door. It'll be on the screens behind me also. But just to catch you up with what's going on in the story of Scripture, there's a guy named Elkanah, and he has two wives. And he has one wife that is named Puanahah, and he has a wife named Hannah. So they both have interesting names. And Puanahah had several kids, and Hannah had none. And so every year they would go to this place called Shiloh, and they would worship. And Israel right now is just kind of a shadow of what it used to be. So if you read the book of Exodus, you see God laying out this tremendous act of worship of how his people, his nation should respond to him and all the religious rites that went along with that and the amazing symbolism that was tied into all of it. And they are a long way from there. They now are a point in the nation where everyone does what they want to. In fact, at this point in Scripture, you read statements like, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, I don't know what is true for you, but I know what is true for me, and I'm going to live out my truth, right? It's totally contrary to anything that God has ever taught, but it's a lot like the world that we live in today. And so worship had declined, and they went from having these amazing, extravagant worship services to now they're just kind of in this little tabernacle. And every year, people like Elkanah and his wives, they come and they worship in a very simple and a very stripped back way, if you will. And so they come and they worship every year. And every year, Elkanah's two wives argue. Who could have saw that coming, right? And so they argue. And his wife begins to tell Hannah, his first wife tells Hannah, his second wife, you know what? He loves you more, but I've given him children. Right? He loves you, but I've given him something that you have never been able to give him. And there's this kind of digging going on, this kind of hatred that begins to exist. And Elkanah, being a man, he tries to fix the problem by simply saying, hey, Hannah, I'm enough for you, right? I'm enough for you. You don't need anything else. You don't need kids. You have me. I'm exactly enough for you. I'm all that you need. And she pours her heart out to God every year because she goes, my husband don't understand what I'm going through. I have this lady that lives with me and is also a wife to my husband. And she treats me with hatred and she is constantly throwing this up in my face. And so she's pouring her heart out before God. And so one year they come up, she's poured her heart out before God and the priest Eli comes up. And he sees her at the altar, and it's early in the morning, and he sees her lips moving, but no words coming out of her mouth. And he walks up to her, and he says, it is too early in the morning. He begins to scold her. It's too early for you to be drunk. Get out of here. And she says, sir, I'm not drunk. And she explains the situation to him. And the priest Eli prays for her and says, you know what? I'm going to ask God to grant your request. And Hannah prays this prayer, where she says, Lord, if you grant my request, then when this child is weaned, when he doesn't need me to physically be alive anymore, to feed him, I will come and I will give him back to you. Or if you're a mother, right? There's turmoil there. You get it. And so she is blessed with a child. And for 3 years, she doesn't return to Shiloh at all. And then when the child grows and he no longer needs his mother strictly for physical support, she takes him to the priest Eli and she says, I made this promise before God, this vow, and now I give him to you. I give my son to you for you to raise him and for you to teach him what it means to be someone who serves and ministers to other people before God. And so that's what's going on. That's where we are And so there's a lot of drama. There's some tension there. There's crazy things happening in the nation of Israel. And we pick up right here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord. This is a child, Samuel. He served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were rare and visions were quite uncommon. Don't miss that. They could not hear God. And one night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. He's an old guy. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Just a few things. One, we know that it was about dawn, so the morning was about to happen. We know that because the lamp of God would burn through the night, and when it went out, they would wake up in the morning, they would refuel it, they would light it again, and its purpose was singular. It was meant to represent the presence of God. That was it. So the lamp burning constantly represented the presence of God in the nation of Israel. But the lamp was about to go out. Do you guys get that? It's about to go out. So there's some natural stuff that we know that it's just about morning time. But there's also some symbolism there that the lamp of God was about to go out. And it speaks clearly to what has been going on in the nation of Israel. So there's this terrible time going on. And you have people who are taking advantage of other people. And you have people who are priests like Eli's sons who are stealing from people who come to worship. They are sleeping with women who work at the place of worship. And it's a horrible time in the nation. And there must have been tons of people who were going, God, where are you? Right? What are you doing? What is happening in our nation? Do you even exist anymore? And they could not hear him and they could not see him. And they must have wondered over and over and over and over again, is God still there? Does he still care about us? Does he even care that we're going through this horrible and difficult time, but the lamp had not yet gone out? In other words, God was still there. He was still there, and he was still working, and he was still moving. Look, I don't know how you walked through the door this morning. Maybe you walked through the door, and you are enjoying the best time in life that you have ever enjoyed, right? Maybe the wind is always blowing at your back. Your favorite team won a football game last night that changes your mood, and you just come in and you're as happy as you can possibly be, and you're like, man, life is good. Or maybe you came in, you're about ready to give up. Or maybe you walked in, and as you were driving or as you were walking through the door, you were thinking, you know what? I'm going to give my marriage one more shot. That's it. I'll give it one more week. If things don't change, then that's it. I'm giving up. I'm giving up on him, or I'm giving up on her. Maybe you walk through the door and you're like, you know what? I'm just about to quit on trying to handle finances. I'm just going to give up, right? Nothing ever seems to work. Every time you think you're on the right track, something wrong happens and you're right back where you were before, or things are worse than they were. Maybe you walked in, you're about ready to give up on a child. You say, you know what? I've done everything that I possibly know to do, but you're about to give up. And you're like, I have nothing else to offer. I have nothing else to give. There is nothing else that I can do to lead them to where God wants them to be. Maybe you walked in, you were about to give up on church. Right? We welcome that here at Journey, by the way. Maybe you walked in and you're like, you know what? I'm gonna give church one more try. Maybe you were burned. Maybe something bad happened. Maybe you were part of some family drama that went on at church, and you're like, you know what? I'll give it one more shot, and then that's it. I'm about ready to give up on it. Maybe you walked in, you're about ready to give up on God. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're like, you know what? God's got one more shot. I'm going to give him one more chance. And maybe you're about ready to quit. Maybe you want to throw in the towel. To you this morning, I would say the same thing that we just read. Listen, the lamp of God hadn't quite gone out. You're here. Right? God's still working. He's still moving. And there is absolutely something that he wants to do in your life. So I want to talk to you this morning about how you can hear God's voice and how in the midst of that, he can take that little bit of flame that is left with inside of your heart and he can turn it back into a raging inferno. So here's the story. It keeps going. It says, and suddenly the Lord called out. People hadn't heard from God in a long time. And suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? And he got up and he ran to Eli. In other words, I believe the guy that is responsible for me is calling me. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. And so he did. It's obedience, you guys. And the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again, Samuel got up and he went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I did not call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. You get the shortness of this, right? He's the older I get, the less I want you to bother me at night. I think that's what's going on, that Eli's like, dude, I'm old. I need my sleep. Leave me alone. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never heard a message from him before. And the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am. Did you call me? And Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. And he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all the threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever. In other words, he's warned him through another prophet because his sons are blaspheming God and he has not disciplined them. Don't miss that, dads. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifice or by offering. So what's happening in the story is the boy Samuel is sleeping. And he wakes up to someone calling his name. And your natural inclination and mine and his would be, it must be someone who is in the house with me. So he runs to the other person that is in the tent with him. And he says, hey, Eli, you called me. What do you need? And Eli goes, I didn't call you. Go lay back down. Right? Same thing happens again. And then it happens again. And finally, at the fourth time, Samuel speaks out to God. And God calls to him. And for some reason, this time he calls his name twice instead of once. And Samuel says, Lord, speak because your servant is listening. I want you to know that the first part of turning that little flicker that is left, that little bit of that relationship with God you have left, the first part of renewing that, reviving that, is listening to God. It's listening. So we listen intently to what God is saying. We listen intently to what he is saying. How many of you men know there's a difference between hearing and listening? Come on. Raise your hand. Right? Football season started yesterday. If you didn't know it, then welcome. Welcome to the rest of our worlds. We love football here in the South, right? We enjoy it. We really love college football. And over again, this is repeated. This happens. A guy's keyed into a game, right? He's watching the football game, and his wife wants to talk to him about the color of the wall or about the drapes, or about what the kitchen looks like, or about whether or not they should eat this for dinner. And the guy hears his wife talking to him, right? He knows that there is something going on over here, and there's a noise coming that sounds eerily familiar to the voice of my wife. But he has no idea what she's saying, right? It's like Charlie Brown's teacher, right? It's just a wah, wah, wah. He has no idea what's happening. And so he's so keyed in that eventually she gets frustrated, and she decides, I'm about to destroy his life. Yep. Y'all know what's happening, right? You've lived this. And she goes, hey, are you listening to me? To which every man responds the same thing. Yes. Yes, I'm listening to you. And then she asks the question. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, what'd I say? And then you have a choice to make. You can make it up. You can go, I don't know. Or you just fess up and beg for mercy and just go, I have no idea, right? I have no idea. I'm keyed in on this ball game is the worst thing that you can say. So just, I had no idea what you were saying. Listen, you heard her. You heard her. But you were not listening to her. I would say in the nation of Israel, they had not heard God. But listen, God had not quit speaking. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He reaches out to his people. He desires a relationship with me and with you. And he desires a relationship with them. He had not quit speaking. He had not quit talking. What they had done is they had quit listening. They heard him. They knew something was going on. They knew in the distance that there was a God who was still up to something, but they had not put themselves in a position to listen. They had filled their life with so much noise that they could not hear God. We do the same thing, right? We fill our lives with noise. There is constantly something going on in our lives, right? We are busier than we have ever been in America, right? We're busy people. We get up. We have a lot to accomplish. We go to work. When we go to bed at night, we're on our phones trying to accomplish one more thing, right? You're sending one more email, or you're looking at fake lies on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever, and you're just looking at the stuff that people want you to see, and you're watching that. You guys, you don't even go to the restroom without looking at Facebook. It's horrible. We fill our lives with noise over and over and over again. When you get in the car, what do? You cut on the radio, right? You cut on the radio. You don't want silence. Many of us can't go to bed at night without having a TV on because we need some kind of noise in the background. We have filled our lives with noise, and in the midst of filling our lives with stuff, we are missing the most important thing. We are missing the voice of God. And so we hear something going on in the distance, but we're not listening to it. We're not listening to it. You might want to jot this down. Here's what noise is. Noise is anything that keeps us from hearing God's voice. It is anything that distracts us from hearing the voice of God. It can be something simple, right? It could be social media. It could be TV. It could be a hobby. It could be anything. Anything that distracts us from hearing the voice of God. But over and over and over again, we fill our lives with noise. And then we go, God, where are you? And the whole time, God is the same place he has always been. That's why Scripture says in Psalms, it says, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all of the earth. Look at what he didn't say. He didn't say, I want you guys to go out and do evangelism really well, and then you'll know I'm God, and then I'll be exalted in all of the earth. He didn't say, I want you to sing super powerful songs, right? That stuff's important. Worshiping God is important. Sharing the gospel is important. But look at what he said. He said, be still. Just stop. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop the flow of life. Stop being so busy. Just be still. And if you're still, you will know that I'm God. I will be exalted in the nations, and I will be known all over the earth. Just be still. I love the way that the Message puts it, the paraphrase. It says this. It says, step out of the traffic. Get out of everyday normal life. Step out of it and take a long, loving look at me, your high God. I'm above politics. I'm above everything. I'm above everything. You guys, God speaks. We just have to listen. He says, be still. We're going to do that right here, right now, right? We never get a chance to be still. Even when you're at church, there's something constantly going on. We plan it that way on purpose. But this morning, we're going to be still. So would you just bow your heads with me? We're going to be still for a moment. Bow your heads and invite God just for a minute to speak to you, and that you would hear his voice this morning. God, your word says to be still. And so, God, we're still. Would you move in a mighty and an awesome way this morning, that we would know that you are God and that you would be exalted. God, that you would be exalted in this place, that you would be exalted in our nation, that you would be exalted all over the earth, Lord. We're here. And we join with Samuel and we say simply, speak, Lord. Because your servants are listening. God, do it in a mighty and a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys, God speaks in a lot of ways. God speaks through creation. We know that our God is a creative God. And so when we walk outside and we see the skies, we know our God has created that. When we see the stars at night, we know that we serve a powerful God and that He spoke the stars into being. He created planet Earth exactly the way that it had to be to support and sustain life. He speaks through creation. We see him when we look at the ocean. We see him when we look at the mountains. We know he spoke in the life of Moses through a burning bush. Right? He spoke to the prophet Elijah through a gentle whisper. He speaks sometimes through friends and through family. That's why we push small groups so much here, life groups here at Journey, because we know you need other people in your life, because oftentimes that's how God speaks truth into your life. So for the past 3 weeks, you've been hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And that's why, because we know that God oftentimes speaks through others and that you need other people in your life. Sometimes He speaks through all of those avenues, but I know this. He speaks in a lot of various ways, but He always speaks through His Word. God always speaks most clearly through His Word. And so if you're here this morning and you're thinking, I hadn't heard the voice of God, then your search should begin by picking up Scripture and reading it, because God always speaks through the Bible. He always speaks through His Word. So we're going to listen intently to what God is saying. And then listen, we're going to choose to believe what He's saying. We're going to choose to believe what God is saying to us. The story continues. And it says, Samuel stayed in bed until morning. And he got up and he opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. So he's doing his chores. And he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. And Eli goes all crazy dad on him. All right, if you're a dad, you've been here. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. Thanks for the encouragement, Dad. Appreciate it. And so Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. And look, it is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. And you're probably going, what in the world does that have to do with belief? Here it is. He got up and he's heard the voice of God for the first time ever. And you would think the first thing that he wanted to do would be to run to the guy that is mentoring him and go, hey, dude, you will not believe what happened last night. Like, you're not going, this is amazing. Like, God literally spoke to me. Not spoke to me in my heart. Not that I felt Him in my spirit. Not that I sensed He was telling me something to do. But literally, I heard the voice of God. You would think that if you heard that, you would go and you would tell somebody. But He doesn't. He gets up and he starts doing chores. Right, this is the kind of stuff you do when you don't want to be confronted by someone who has authority over you. He doesn't want to tell him what God said because he believes what God said and he believes he's going to carry it out. This is not the first time that Eli's heard this. Already at least once, maybe twice, someone has come to him and said, hey, God is saying you better get a handle on your kids, and if you don't, then it's going to be severe. And now God comes and he goes, hey, you, even as a spiritual leader, you never led your kids. You didn't lead your sons in doing what was right. And so now what's going to happen is I'm going to wipe them and you off the face of the planet. It's an encouraging message, right? Especially if you're a young child and you have to deliver it. And so instead of delivering it, because he believes God will do what he says he will do, he simply goes and he does his chores. And Eli comes to him and he's like, hey, I want you to tell me everything. Don't you dare hold anything back. And so now the boy Samuel tells him what he has heard. And they both believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Eli's response was not to try to bargain with God. He was simply said, he's God, he can do whatever he wants to. Let him do whatever he wants to. Hey, here's what I want you guys to know. Belief is a choice. Belief is a choice. Oftentimes we base our belief on emotions and how we feel. And emotions are amazing. Amen? All right? There's nothing like feeling chills when you're worshiping God. This is amazing. It is amazing to feel God well up inside of you and for worship just to grab hold of you. And emotions are a gift that have been given to us from He created us emotional beings. So next time your wife is crying and you want to go stop it, or your daughter, listen. God gave us emotions. Just deal with it. He created us to be emotional people, and that's what we are. And it is a gift, you guys. It's not a curse. It's not a burden. Emotions are amazing. But listen, you can't trust them. You can't trust them. Emotions do not equal truth. They simply come and they go and they come and they go. And a lot of times our emotions are based on what's going on in our life and how we feel at the moment. And truth never changes. Truth doesn't come up and it doesn't go down. And listen, our God is truth and He never changes. And so we base our belief in Him on truth, not on emotion. So it doesn't matter how you feel about God. It didn't matter if you feel like he should do this or he should do that. It doesn't matter if you feel like he's close or if he's far away, because we base our belief not on emotion, but we base it on truth. And so we believe that God is who he says he is. And when we choose to believe it, listen, God will transform your life. But here's the truth. This is ordinary, real life. A lot of times we believe God, but we don't believe him completely. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you've walked with God for any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. You say, I believe that, God, but you don't ever really do anything with it. Or say, I believe you, and I want you to know this. I believe you, but God, I don't understand that. I believe you, but God, I don't know why that happened. God, I believe you, but I don't know why this is going on in my family. And don't you ever dare feel guilty about having questions about what God is doing. Listen, you serve a God who is big enough and strong enough and mighty enough to handle your questions and your doubts, and he invites them. Go ahead, ask him a question. Go ahead and go, God, you know what? I want to believe that, but I'm not sure I'm there yet. You serve a God who is big enough to handle your questions. And in fact, he welcomes them. You guys probably know the story of Thomas. Christian people call him Doubting Thomas. They miss the fact that shortly before Jesus was crucified, Thomas was a guy who was ready to go to war. And he's a brave, he's a courageous guy. And then after Jesus died and rose from the grave, all the disciples are celebrating, and there's one holdout, and it's Thomas. And Thomas is simply saying, I don't know that I believe it. I don't know that I believe it. And he makes statements like this. I'll believe it when I see the holes in his hands or his wrist, and when I see the hole in his side. And they're all together one day. They're just kind of hanging out. I like to hang out with friends. The disciples are just hanging out. They don't know what to do. They don't know what their next steps are. And so they're just hanging with one another. And they're in a room with a door that is locked, and Jesus walks through the wall. Right? Would you not do that if you could? Right? Daily. It's just like, boom, there he is, right? I love scaring people. It's like a joy of my life. Could you imagine? Man, I'm telling you, I'm praying. I pray daily that God makes it happen for me. And so he just, boom, there's Jesus. There he is. Just all of a sudden he's there. The door doesn't open. It doesn't close. The lock doesn't move. Jesus just through the wall. And there's Thomas. You can imagine what he must have felt. Like, I'm about to crawl under a rock, right? Please don't look me in the eye. He's probably like looking around like I'm not making eye contact. And Jesus is there. And instead of demeaning Thomas, and instead of attacking him, he says this. He said to Thomas, put your finger here. And see my hands. And put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. He says, Thomas, dude, I get that you've had doubts. I imagine Jesus understood. This is a lot to digest in the process. But then he said, look, I want you to stop. Understand, look, here I am. Here I am. You had doubts. That's fine. But look, I've proven myself to be faithful. You see that I have risen from the grave. And he simply said, I want you to choose to believe. Belief is always a choice. Jot this down. Belief does not mean you'll never have a question or a doubt. It means you choose to trust God even when those doubts and those questions arise. You choose to trust him. We serve a God who has proven himself faithful. He has proven that he loves us. He has proven that he cares for us. And even when those doubts arise, we're going to choose to trust him. And that's true belief. Jesus was approached by a man who wanted him to do a miracle to heal his child. And Jesus said something to him about believing and about having faith, that if he had faith, anything would be possible. And Scripture records this. The father instantly cried out, look, this is so us. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Because if we're true with ourselves, that's most of us. We say, Lord, I believe you, but there is still something that I'm holding back. I believe you, but I'm still not doing the things that you asked me to do. Lord, I believe you, but there's still this little bit of unbelief. There's these questions. There's these doubts. And like the Father, we can say the same thing. Lord, we believe, but help us to overcome the doubt that remains. And Jesus said this in Matthew. He said, you can pray for anything. And if you have faith, if you have belief, you will receive it. So that doesn't mean, like, if you're praying right now for a new sports car or a new Jeep, when you walk out in the parking lot, it's not going to be there. Okay? That's not what that's saying. But if you would like to bless me with one, I'm game. So I'm praying right now. So if you guys want to answer God's prayer, right? That ain't what he's talking about. Here's the deal. The closer you get to God, the more that you practice belief in him, the more the stuff you desire is the stuff that he desires for you. And then all of a sudden you're praying not just for what you want, but you're praying for what God wants in your life. And listen, that is a prayer that God will answer every single time. So we listen, we hear from God, we choose to believe, and then as we conclude, know this, we consistently act upon what he has said. We consistently act upon it. When you truly believe something, you will always, always, always act on it. You'll always act on it. There are questions you should never ask unless you know the answer. Right? You know, some of you know what I'm talking about, right? There are questions you should only ask, especially in leadership, if you kind of already know the answer to that question. One of those questions is, will you marry me? So if you're a guy and you're wondering, if I ask this question, if you're 50-50 of whether or not she's going to say yes, don't do it. You're about to get embarrassed, and you're going to embarrass the rest of us too. That's to see it happen. So you need to know the answer to that question. I believed when it came time for me to pop that question that my wife was going to say yes. And listen, because I believed that, I acted on it. And one day, I knelt down and I asked her if she would be my wife. I acted on it. I want you to know this as we close, that if you truly hear God's voice and you truly believe what he has said, then you will always act on it. Every single time. If you hear his voice and you believe it. So if you believe that God is accurate in scripture when he tells us how we should be handling finances and the tithe and the savings and all that kind of stuff, if you truly believe that God's way is best, then you're going to act on that. If you truly believe God's word about being a husband and that you should be loving your wife the same way that Jesus loved the church, if you truly believe that, then listen, husbands, you're going to act on it. If you truly believe God's word as a child, and scripture says that you're to obey and to honor your parents, if you truly believe that, look, you're going to act on it. That's what you're going to do. If you truly believe God's word as a wife, and it tells you that you're to honor your husband, then listen, you're going to act on it. You're going to act on it. The problem for us is not that we don't try hard enough. The problem is that oftentimes we don't truly believe that what God has said is accurate and best. So today I want you to do something. I want you to invite God to speak to you. And I want you to invite him to rock your world. Because listen, when he speaks, I can promise you that what he is speaking is best and it's true and you can believe it. But if you really believe it, you're going to always act on it. Here's a closing thought. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, I've never heard God's voice. Scripture would say this. It would say maybe you haven't heard his voice because you don't know him. It says he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason that you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Look, I don't want that to come across as condemnation. I want that to be an invitation. That if you're in the room this morning and you're like, you know what, I've never felt that. Never in my life have I thought that God was speaking to me. Never have I felt that spirit inside of me, like pulling me and nagging me and moving me in a direction. If you've never experienced the voice of God in your life, then I want to invite you into a relationship with him. Because here's the truth. He created you. He knit you together, scripture says. You're not an accident. No way. He knit you together exactly the way that he wants you to be. And he loves you and he cares for you. And he desires a relationship with you so much that he was willing to give the life of his son so that he could be brought back right with you. It's amazing. He loves you that much. And he offers that kind of life and that kind of relationship with you in that intimate relationship where you're hearing him, you're believing, and you're acting. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you and you're a good God. And God, you desire to be in relationship with us. You desire to speak to us. And Lord, we've invited you this morning to speak. We said, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. So here we are. God, talk to us. Invade our life. Do something special right here and right now. Because if you would say in a state of prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and I want you to think about something. If you're here and you've never heard the voice of God, then there's an invitation open to you. He invites you into a relationship with Him. Scripture teaches this, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? We've sinned, we've messed up, we've made a mess of the life that God has given us. And it clearly says that the wages of that, that we deserve death because of it. That the punishment for that sin is death. But that the gift of God, listen, the gift of our Creator is eternal life. So Jesus died that death so that you don't have to. And now He offers you forgiveness and He offers you life brand new. He offers you freedom from that life and He offers you an intimate relationship with Him where He speaks and where you listen and where you speak and He listens. The God who created everything you see desires to know you. It's amazing. If you've never stepped into that relationship, then that will be the best thing that you have ever done. This morning, right here, right now, I want you to begin that relationship. If that's you, simply cry out to God. Tell Him, say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. I believe that Jesus died to pay the price for that sin, that He rose again. And I invite Him to be my Lord and my Savior. If you said that this morning, there's a room in the back of this worship center. You'll see it as you turn around. It's our VIP room. We have people there who would love to speak to you and walk through this decision with you. And they'd love to give you a gift from us and just have a short conversation with you about what life looks like now, about how you can get to a point where you're hearing from God and that relationship is growing and it's active. So if you made that decision, would you do me a favor? Would you go to that room when we finish up here in just a moment and just tell them, say, hey, I prayed that prayer. I want to know Jesus. I want that relationship. And they would love to talk with you and walk with you through that. Many of you in this room, though, you've known God a long time. And you've been walking with Him. And if you were truthful and honest with yourself, you'd say, you know what? I hadn't heard God in months. In months. For some of us, it's years. For some of us, I hadn't heard God since He drew me to salvation. And today you would say, you know what? I want to begin afresh and I want to begin anew. I want to step out of traffic. I want to begin to do things that allow me to hear His voice. I want to get noise out of my life so that I can hear what God wants to say to me and how He wants to lead me. If that's you, just lift your hand. I just want to pray for you real quick. You want to hear God's voice fresh and new. I see you there. Anyone else, I see you. God bless them right here in front. God love them there in back. I see you. Anyone else, I see you guys right here to my left. Lord, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. You're a God who works, and You are a God who moves. You're not a God who remains distant. You're not a God that we have to wonder about whether or not You care for us. And Lord, thank You that our relationship with You is not based on feelings. God, thank You for feelings. We love them and we enjoy them and how lame life would be without them. But Lord, we don't have to base our relationship with You on feelings, but we base it on the truth. And the truth is that You were a God who loved us enough and loves us enough to send Your Son as a sacrifice. And God, now You offer freedom. You offer new life to us. God, may that be something that we never take lightly. And God, may we put ourselves consistently in positions and in places where the noise is gone and we're stepping out of the traffic and we're hearing Your voice. And God, as we hear, lead us to believe. God, lead us to believe. And as we believe, would You lead us to action? We love You and thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel. Y'all, that was our backup team. How we doing? Pretty good, right? Awesome.